You're listening to Connect Communities Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. If you'd like to know more about our community, stop by our website at www.connectcommunity.tv. Enjoy the message.
If you're taking notes, the title of my message today is Essence. Essence. Now, I believe I've shared this here before, but growing up, I had a thing about not sharing what kind of cologne I wore. You know, my life was an open book, except for what brand of cologne I was wearing. I used to keep that brand a secret. It was a Davidoff Cool Water, by the way, if you're curious. But a scent, a smell, it has a particular effect on us. You know, when something smells bad, we can't ignore it, like we saw it on the video. When something smells good, we notice it as well. Different scents provoke different reactions. You know, the smell of something burnt is alarming, especially if you have dinner in the oven. You don't want to ruin dinner. That's a bad, bad thing. The smell of gas in the house, that's alarming too. You got to open the windows, vacate the premises, make sure things are safe. On the other end, the smell of a fresh cup of coffee in the morning, the smell of fresh cut flowers, the smell of the ocean on a summer day, it relaxes you. It invites in romance. It lets you think of better things, right? Smells have an influence on us. I just had an experience with this last week. My wife was out of town, and so I had all three kids. And I decided to take them to the movies on a Friday afternoon, a short film that they show at the aquarium. And so I took them there. And usually when we go to the movie, we don't go to the movies a lot, but when we go to the movies as a family, what we do is we try to get in a little early. We sit down, we get situated, and then I go out and get popcorn and drinks and, you know, snacks. So in the autopilot, you know, that's what I thought. We're going to go in, we're going to find a seat, and we're going to sit down. And the moment we stepped into the lobby area, the kids could smell the popcorn. And what did they say? Dad, I want popcorn. Dad, popcorn. Like three kids, like popcorn, yay, popcorn. I was like, all right, we're going to get in, and then we're going to figure out the popcorn scenario. So we got in just in time for the movie to start. And then I sat down, and I looked at them, and I realized I was the only adult. Total fail. And I thought, man, I can't leave my 4-year-olds and my 8-year-old here by themselves. Or can I? And trying to decide, I figured, you know, it's a short film, 40 minutes. They'll be all right without popcorn for 40 minutes. This is an IMAX screen. They're going to show sea creatures, beautiful fish. It's going to be colorful. It's going to be a world they've never seen before. Surely they're going to forget about the popcorn. Except I think that they pump popcorn smell in the theater, because we couldn't get away from that buttery, delicious popcorn smell. And throughout the 40 minutes, I believe my three kids probably asked for popcorn at least 40 times. Dad, popcorn. I want some popcorn. That was Pepe. What happened? They were smelling it. They couldn't stop thinking about it because of it. And that's what happens. You can't ignore it. Now, did you know that you have a scent? Did you know that you have an aroma? I'm not just talking about the cologne you're wearing right now. I'm not talking about your natural scent. You know, the scent that your pheromones produce and release. The natural manly musk you guys emit. I'm talking about the scent of your soul. Your soul has a scent. It has an aroma. And when it comes to your scent, you can try to fake it. You can try to mask it. You can try to hide it. But the moment there's proximity, the moment you get close to somebody, they're gonna smell it. They're gonna sense your aroma. And when they do, what is it gonna be? When people get close to you, what do they smell? What is it that they smell? What kind of scent are you giving out? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, Apostle Paul writes this. But thank God, he has made us his captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. See, when you're getting ready for a date or you come home from a hard day of work where you have, you know, put on your work, a lot of work, and you know, you're sweaty and you feel like you don't smell so good. You do the sniff test, right? And you go, man, I need a shower. All you need to do is hop in the shower, a little soap, a little shampoo. You dry yourself, you put a little deodorant, a little cologne, a little perfume, and everything is good, right? But when it comes to your soul, when it comes to your soul, it's a little bit different. When it comes to your soul, it's not what's on the outside that changes your internal essence. What changes your soul is what's on the inside. Renewal, restoration, refreshment comes from the inside out. It's all about the essence, the power that's on the inside. It's all about what's fueling your soul. So today I want to give you three benefits of living the life of Christ, of having the life of Christ, the life of God in you, and why it is the best way for you to live. The first one is this. When Jesus' life is your essence, you will have centeredness. And this is something that we all look forward to, right? We want centeredness in our lives. When you have the right essence, you don't depend on outside circumstances. When Jesus is your essence, you don't depend on outside circumstances, on things, outside sources to change you. You have a sweet aroma that's on the inside. And that's what Paul is saying in this scripture. He's saying, God has been so merciful. He has been so good to me. He has held me close to him. He has kept me on purpose. He has kept me on task. He has eliminated distractions. He has guided my life against all odds. And because of it, everywhere I go, I release the sweet aroma of Christ. My team, we release the sweet aroma of Christ. You, the church, you release the sweet aroma of Christ when you live that way. And he says that Christ has made us captives. Now, this is an interesting word because he goes from captives into triumph. See, this word captive here is not connected to the sense of prisoner. It's more connected to the sense of being captured. It's not a negative term. It's a positive term. It means that Christ has captured his heart. And in the same way, Christ can capture your heart in such a way that he continues to lead you to triumph regardless of what you're going through or what you're facing. And that is a tremendous benefit. I don't know if you're like me, but when I'm faced with a situation, with a tough circumstance, with a challenge, I ponder. I like to stop and think about every possible scenario, to analyze every situation, every possible outcome. I think about it and I think about it and I internalize it and then I think some more. And usually that happens with our team too. When a problem arises, something we need to solve, you know, I got to think about it. I got to sleep on it. I wish I was the kind of person who had all the answers right then and there. All the answers. Wouldn't that be nice for us to be like that? But I got to sleep on it. And if you're like me, if you're like that, this kind of centeredness that Paul is talking about, this centeredness in Jesus, is salvation. Because you can always come back to that core, to that center. When something negative happens, when something breaks, when a plan fails, when money is short, when you are faced with the unexpected, in each circumstance, you have two options. You can either let the circumstance dictate your internal mood, dictate your essence, dictate your stance. You can succumb to the emotion of the moment and allow those things to capture you and be captured by them. Or, like Paul, if you are in Christ, you can come back to the center and know that your soul is already captive. Your soul has already been captured, and he has you, and you can rest in his thoughts. See, that's what happens every time you come to Connect Community. Every time you join us on Sundays, that's what you're doing. You're holding your mind captive. You're feeding that essence. Every time you go to a Connect group, that's what you're doing. Every time you open your Bible, that's what you're doing. You're coming back to the center. Every time you meditate on the scriptures, that's what you're doing. You're coming back to the center. Every time you pray, that's what you are doing. You're taking your mind and your heart back to that place, to the center, to your essence. Now, we all have lots of voices, and that's why this is important. Because we all have lots of voices every single day telling you that you can't. There are obstacles that you face every single day that try to push you to quit. There are things that constantly are trying to press you to stop and to retreat and to draw back. Now, how much those circumstances, how much those voices will influence you, how much those things will have a say in our life will depend on how centered and how captive your mind and your heart are, and how much of God's life is in you. Now, you need to know that today, that you are a person of purpose, that God has called you for something great, that in you there are talents and abilities that are supposed to be used for good, that are supposed to be engaged for good. God has blessings in store for you. He has goodness in store for you. Like we were singing earlier, there's breakthrough in your future. You got to put that on the inside and believe it with your heart. This is not just positive thinking. This is what this is. It's promise taking. It's you embracing the promises of God and knowing that with Him in your heart, you find your center. And when the world around you is telling you you can't, when those around you are not believing in the promises of God for your life, you can say like Paul, thanks be to God who always causes me to triumph. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. So that's the question for you to think about and ask yourself today. Am I centered? Are you centered in Christ? Are you centered in God? How can you know? The evidence is in your scent. It's in the aroma. What kind of aroma are you giving out? And I would encourage you to ask a close friend, somebody you can trust, somebody who will not condemn you or put you down. Ask him, hey, how am I smelling? What kind of scent am I giving out? You take a whiff. Am I smelling like fear? Am I smelling like anxiety? Am I smelling like worry? Am I smelling like discouragement? Or is my essence, is the thing that I'm giving out, the life of God? Is it a sweet aroma of blessings and confidence and joy? Here's my second point. When Jesus' life is your essence, you will please God. Paul continues, 2 Corinthians 2:15, just the first part, he says this, our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. Now, I'm going to stop right here. The verse continues, but I'm going to stop right here. Living a life that's pleasing to God is central to Jesus' message. Every time you try to be more like Jesus, you're pleasing God. Every time you try to act like Jesus, you're pleasing God. Every time you put on Christ, as the scripture says, you are pleasing God. Now, here's a question. Why does it matter? Why should you please God? You know, for those of you who are Christians or have been in this journey for a while, even the question might sound like a sacrilege, right? JD, it's in the book. Come on. How could you ask such a question? But if you're inquisitive, that's a valid question to ask. Why should it matter? Why should you please God? Why does it matter? What's the return on investment here? Now, if you have asked that question, this is a very important question and a good question to ask. If you've ever asked that question, why does it matter and why should I please God? The question itself gives an inkling. It reveals something deeper within that question. The assumption when you ask that question is that at times, what pleases you and what pleases God are not the same thing. What the question itself shows is that often what we are at odds with God, because it wouldn't matter, it wouldn't be a problem if every time we want to please ourselves, we're pleasing God, right? It would be the same thing. Too often, what seems to please us right now does not please God. And if that's the case, why is that? Why is it? And I'm glad you asked the question. I'm excited to answer it with another question. Think about this. If the alternative to pleasing God, if the alternative to living a life that's pleasing unto God is living a life that's pleasing unto you, how's that working out for you? How has that worked out for you thus far? Let me ask you a different question. How many regrets in your life that you can think about and recall are connected to that premise? Remember that time you got caught up in greed? Greed crept in and you started having money discussions and you started fighting with everybody because of money, money here, money there. Weren't you trying to find a lifestyle that pleased you? Didn't you have good intentions in your heart? How about that time you got caught up and you were acting selfish and you realized that you're like, man, I'm being selfish right now. Weren't you trying to lead a life that pleased you? Weren't you trying to do the right thing? Didn't you have a good intention in trying to live a life that pleased you? How about those times you disappointed yourself? You made a fool out of yourself, not in a good way. Maybe it never happened to you guys, you know, because you're... But how about those times? Weren't you trying to live a life, lead a life that pleased you? This is what we learn from this, because we can talk about morality. We can talk about right and wrong. We can talk about relativism. We can talk about whether truth is absolute. And we can talk about endless conversations on those bases. But even before we get there, we need to realize this, that we can't move on before recognizing that our measure, the thing we use to measure right and wrong, our ruler, our internal compass, sometimes measures it really wrong. It's distorted. The parameters we use to decide whether something is good or bad is skewed. We got to admit that, because we've been there before. I've been there before. We've all been there before. There's something about our sense of judgment that sometimes chooses wrong when we think it's right. It sees things that are not good as good, and we are thoroughly convinced of it when we're apart from God. So rather than going on this endless discussion about morality and truth, start here. Start here. Ask yourself, working from this premise that God is a good God, you have to start there, because that's what the scripture tells us. That's the premise, right? God is a good God. Working from that premise that God is a good God, who is better equipped to discern between what is good and bad for you? You or God? And if you know you can make the wrong choice, even though you think it's the right choice, wouldn't it be better to choose God's way? Wouldn't it be better to follow His way? I think that the reason why we think sometimes it's a pointless exercise is because there's a myth that's been ingrained in us. And this is the myth that we need to dispel. The myth that we need to dispel is that pleasing God means you live in boring, unexciting, square, contained, restricted life. That to please God, you need to be less of yourself. That to please God, you need to restrict yourself. That to please God, you need to walk and live a kind of life that is limited. And nothing could be farther from the truth. Isaiah 55:8-9. I'm sure you've heard this verse before, once or twice. For those of you that are new, just let it get in your heart. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God's ways are not smaller than your ways. God's ways are not less exciting than your ways. They are bigger. They're way more exciting. They're scary at times. They will challenge you. God's way will seem impossible at times. But this is what we got to come back to. Is that God loves us more than we love ourselves. God's love for you is greater than your love for yourself. So he will guide you in a way that may seem like you need to say no to things. And it may seem like he's restricting you. He's not restricting you. He's guiding you to a greater life. He's guiding you to make better choices. That's why what we learn from this scripture is that a life that pleases God is really the best way for you to love yourself. If you're trying to take care of yourself, if you're trying to get ahead, if you're trying to become better, to live better, focus on pleasing God. If you focus on pleasing yourself, you will have disappointments. But if you focus on pleasing God, you will reap great rewards. See, practically, it works in everyday life. I'm not talking about these huge religious things. I'm talking about everyday life, like listening to the voice of God on the inside. Now, because sometimes, you know, the world will say, you know what? Buy it now. You want to buy something? Buy it now. Buy it on credit. Worry about it later. And then a sweet small voice, still small voice on the inside says, save your money and buy it cash later. When God's whispering that in your heart, he's not trying to keep you from getting something. He's trying to help you sleep at night. He's trying to help you not worry. You know, maybe you're at the restaurant and you want the extra cheesy chili cheese fries. And then you hear a whisper in your heart going, go for the salad. He goes, oh, come on. Come on, man. God's trying to keep your body healthy so you can play with your grandkids. That's a better life. So you can be healthy and whole. That's a better life. I'm talking about real life here, guys. You're at home, you're tired. And you want to binge watch 4 hours of TV, just stream and sit and do nothing. And God whispers, turn off the TV. Read a book for an hour, exercise for 30 minutes, and go to bed early. That's what you need. He's not trying to get you off the TV and restrict you. He's trying to get you to be in tip-top shape so you can excel at work, so you can be your best in everything that you do. Pleasing God is the best way to love yourself and find your life. Third point. When Jesus' life is your essence, you will love your neighbor well. So we'll continue on that scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. This is what it says. Our lives are like a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. We read that part. And then he continues. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom. What do you really mean here, Paul? Can you clarify? But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. And who is adequate for such a task as this? I love that he asked that question. So a lot of strong language here, right? But here's what this passage means when you apply it to your life. When you are centered in Jesus, when you live a life that's centered in Christ, when you decide to live a life that pleases God, our two first points, right? You will become a powerful and positive aroma, a good aroma to those around you. Your life will point to what's good. Your life will have a direction. The choices you make, the decisions you make will point people toward God. And for some, it'll be affirming. For some, it'll be beautiful. For some, it'll be encouraging. For some, it'll be a true blessing. For some, it'll be a sweet aroma. They'll catch a whiff of you and they'll go like, ooh, you're good. Love your life, man. Love the way you're living. Man, you're inspiring me. I love it. I want to be more like you. And the smell, it's like a smell a cup of coffee in the morning if you like that, right? Or fresh cut flowers. That's what you smell like to them. But for others, I hate to break it to you, but you're not going to seem sweet to everybody, okay? Not everybody's going to think you're sweet all the time. Your smell to them will be like that leaky gas. It'll be alarming. It'll be like the smell of something burning in the kitchen. They'll be like, ooh. But it's not your kitchen. It's their kitchen. It's not your life. It's their life. Because your life will be pointing to something that's going to cause them to look at themselves and say, wait a minute, I got to put some things in order here. And you might feel the tension in those relationships, maybe at work, maybe at home, maybe a friend of yours notices that you're changing and you're moving toward a better life, you're making better decisions, and they look at you and go like, bro, what's going on, man? You're not the same anymore. And you might feel bad. Don't feel bad. That's not your problem. That's their problem. And the tension is good. Don't be too concerned with alleviating that tension. God is using your life to point them to something good. God is using your life as a display of how to make wise choices. God is using your life to remind them that they can rise higher, that they can live better, that they can too overcome. Your scent is not going to please everybody, and that's okay. See, this is what we got to realize. We are not called to please everybody. We're called to please God. And as we please God, as we live for Him, we will love our neighbor as well. See, the best way to love your neighbor is to focus on being a sweet aroma unto God, as the passage says. Because like I said, when you please God, you call people out of darkness. When you please God, you show others how to love God and how to live right. And like I said, some people will feel the tension because they're going to look at their own lives and they're going to feel like they're not measuring up. They're going to feel like they're not living up to their potential. And that's when you explain. That's when you come in and you explain. In a spirit of humility, not in a condemning way, not in a weird way, religious way, but in a positive way, encouraging them, saying, listen, I'm no different than you. I'm not better than you. This is what has happened. The freedom that I found is based on the fact that my life is centered in God. There's a life in me that I can always come back to. There's a spirit of God in me, and I don't live by sight, I live by faith. And my faith is rooted not in outside circumstances, but on what I know on the inside. That's when you can tell them, and you can tell them that you're just like them. You can tell them, listen, I'm just like you. If I were in your shoes and I didn't have God in my life, I'd probably be making the same decisions you're making right now. But because God is with me, because I have a relationship with God, the strength that I have comes from Him. The life that I have comes from Him. I have been captured by His love. I have God in my life. So this is what happens. When hate hits me, love comes out. When bad circumstances come my way, goodness comes out. When trouble comes, peace comes out. Because the essence is not influenced by outside circumstances. The essence comes from God. And you can tell them, listen, the reason why I can go through a setback and still be standing, the reason why I can go through circumstances and still have faith in my heart is because God always causes me to triumph. Do you believe that today? That God always causes you to triumph? That no matter what you go through, He can guide you. He can lead you. And that's my encouragement for you today. See, I brought this bottle of perfume here. It was, I'm not telling you. I'm not telling you. She read it. Yeah, it's a gift from my wife, guys. It's a great perfume. I love it. And here's the thing. The bottle looks nice, but it really doesn't matter. I could scratch it. I could damage it. It's still going to smell good. It doesn't affect what's on the inside. I could break it. I actually thought about breaking it, but I don't want to waste good perfume, good cologne. The harder I hit it, the more the scent is going to come out. The hardest it gets hit, the harder the hardship, the more the sweet aroma is going to come out. And that's you. Even when you get broken, if God is your essence, if He's on the inside, the aroma that comes out is good. It's good. Yeah, you can clap for that. That's good preaching right there. And that's our encouragement for you. That's the point of having a relationship with God. It's the point of everything that we do here. It's why I'd like to encourage you, to try it out, to engage it. If you've been doing this for a while, refresh it, man. Engage with your relationship in your relationship with God. Make Christ your essence. Make the life of Christ your essence every single day. Not just on Sundays. Every single day. Because when Christ is your essence, when God is your essence, He will lead you in your own way. You might not be a religious person at all. You might be here, because somebody invited you and you like the message. It's for you too. Talk to God. Pray. Have good thoughts in your mind. Read the scriptures. Meditate on them. Meditate on the scriptures. And allow them to change your thinking. I challenge you to try it out, to engage this life. Like I said, not in a religious way, but in a practical way. Listen to the voice of God on the inside. Follow the promptings. Pray. Come to church every Sunday. At least most Sundays, Join a group. Have a centered life. Because if you do, you will be like this bottle of cologne. It doesn't matter what hits you. What's inside is what will count. And that sweet aroma will come out of you. And you will not only live the best life that God has for you, but you will bless every single person around you. Do you receive it this morning? Amen. Band.